Would you gouge out your own eye if it caused you to sin? This is the We the Exiles podcast.
We will not, build the church according to the changing whims of an ungodly culture. We will change that ungodly culture by the power of the immutable gospel.
Welcome to the We the Exiles podcast. I'm your host, Cameron Wood, along with my co-host and brother, Chandler Wood.
Hey, hey.
We appreciate you joining us today. In this podcast, we examine Christian culture in the light of Scripture. We believe in the sufficiency of Scripture, and our goal is to help others be bold and stand firm in a world that is increasingly anti-Christ.
And with that, we pray, Jesus Christ, may you be glorified and give us wisdom to speak clearly and boldly about your unchanging truth.
Hope everyone had a great weekend. We had a great last week and weekend. Mm-hmm. For those of you who are just joining us or haven't heard us speak about this, we try to film our podcasts on Mondays.
Yeah,
it gives us time to edit the rest of the week, but also we have other jobs, focus on other jobs, and so last week's episodes that released Tuesday, we released episodes Tuesdays and Thursdays. The Monday, actually, we recorded that one the Friday prior, but last week we had gone to our family trip with our dad to Smith Lake in Alabama, and so we were there all last week, yeah, it was
good.
It was a good time.
Had a really good time. It was a good little getaway, and
it was peaceful. It rained some while we were there, but it wasn't too bad. But it was peaceful. I did get to my kids wake me up early on average, or wake both Casey and I up early on average every morning, but specifically when we travel, they like to wake up even earlier sometimes. So it's interesting. So I was up, you know, at 6 o'clock most mornings, which is fine. Some mornings people were already up cause it was a house full. It was our dad planned the trip, but it was our dad, our stepmom, our half brother and sister. Then it was Chandler, his family, my family. And then, Mr. and Mrs. Ross, who are stepmom's parents. Mm-hmm. What would you call them? Step-in-laws? Our step grandparents,
yeah,
not in laws, but step grandparents, and then it gets kind of crazy when you have divorced families. You know, there's so many different names, and then Dakota, who's Anna's our half sister. It's her boyfriend, whatever he was on the trip. But anyway, in the mornings it was peaceful because though my kids were up, they had a screen and porch, and I would go and be able to do my study time out there. And as the sun was coming up, and just, it was almost kind of jungle like out there.
Mm-hmm.
Just the sounds and being able to read that. So there was some interesting aspects to it.
Yeah.
Not just the getting to go on the boat with our father and hang out around him and do those things, swim in the lake, but just to have that kind of study time in that type of environment is always a blessing.
Yeah. I really like vacations like that where it's just like you're in one place for a time. You know, it's not like you're going somewhere, but you're doing multiple things like in and around the town.
Mm-hmm.
So like that, we were just at that
lake house
and we didn't go anywhere. And it was, I like stuff like that because it's just a nice time to just sit and reflect.
Yeah,
and
it was. It was a nice time to just, a lot of reflection. The world kind of slowed down a little bit, you know.
So I think it would be really cool for us, which we kind of did when we recorded Leaving Shadowland, but I think it would be cool to like even go back there to Smith Lake or somewhere like that to write, you know, another record in the future.
Yeah. Those are my favorite places to go. I really like Smith Lake in general, but I just like for me, going on a trip really is, it's good to kind of away from the hustle and bustle of life in general and just kind of have time to yourself or just kind of to unplug, which is also great because I had no service, like regular cellular service where we were. And the Wi-Fi that was provided at this house that we were staying in
was not that good.
It was very bad. So it was almost a great unplug.
Yeah.
for me.
I think it's interesting. I was thinking about this, but I think it's interesting how when, as life goes on, you know, so many things change. And with that trip, it was kind of the marker of a new stage. Mm-hmm. Because like when we're growing up, when we were kids, we went on family vacation and our grandparents hosted it, mm-hmm. you know, and now we have our own kids. And now it's like my dad is, he's taking that role. He's hosting. And mm-hmm. now it's like his family.
Right.
And so it's just crazy how that dynamic changes. Cause when we're younger, we think, oh, this will be forever. But then as you grow older and you have your own kids, now the family vacation looks different. So it was kind of a marker of a new.
It is. And both blessings. We grew up in divorced homes. We've spoken about that. We grew up in a divorced home. We spoke about that some, but we both had parents who loved us. We were very blessed growing up. Just blessed in general. We had everything we needed. Our parents took care of us. But isn't it crazy that a common thing is a vacation? Mm-hmm. I was thinking about that, you know. I mean, it's a part of Western culture. It's a part of the culture we live in and stuff like that. I'm not meaning that as a way of harping on it that you shouldn't take vacations. But majority of the world doesn't have that same view. So it's interesting that it's a regular part of what we think of summer. In America, or when you're growing up, you go to school, you think of summer vacation, you think I'm going on vacation. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of embedded in the way you think. And I just mm-hmm. think that's interesting because there are literally millions of people in the world who don't even know what that is.
Yeah.
Have no sense of what a vacation is. I think sometimes that, again, that's kind of just pondering that and thinking that as a way to kind of say, you know, what an additional blessing that can be, mm-hmm. and also just how good we have it in a certain context.
Yeah. Which I was really thankful for even in that context, because it is really easy when you get away to, I guess, kind of neglect your Bible reading, neglect time with the Lord, and you almost kind of, it just kind of gets diluted and mm-hmm. you're just focused on having a good time. But I was really thankful for this past vacation because I think there was a lot of reflection on just the blessing of the Lord, you know, just with our families right. and just being together and just seeing all that God has done in our lives. Right. And there was times where we had time to read and, mm-hmm. and so I thought it was good in the circumstance. But
just a quick reminder of a few things before we head on over to our main dish segment. If you've been listening and you're keeping up with what we're doing, we do have a Twitter page that we would love for you to be involved with. As we continue to grow, we're hoping that Twitter becomes a platform in which we communicate with a lot of people who are listening to the podcast, mm-hmm. a way also for you to join in the conversations that we're having on the podcast, or maybe even sometimes we may ask questions or surveys or different things through Twitter. So if you're listening to the show and you want to continue to be involved, even when you're not listening to the show, you can head on over to Twitter and it's @WeTheExiles.
Yes.
As the show goes on, as we continue to learn, we're hoping to use that platform a little mm-hmm. bit more. But we'd love a follow and you can also share what we're doing with We The Exiles through Twitter as well.
Yeah. We have currently on there 7 followers.
7 followers.
It was funny. I check it periodically. I want to get more involved on it, just posting stuff from the podcast and also just things that pertain to godliness. But I was looking last night and I saw that we got 7, which was a growth from a day prior or whatever, where we had 6. And I was like, oh, cool. And I went to check the followers and our mom created a
account,
a Twitter
just for
account
us. Wow.
Just to be a follower. So that's really cool.
So really just 6.
Shout out to
just
mom.
No. Hey mom, we love you. Thanks for supporting us and all we do.
But yeah, we would love to grow that. So if you have a Twitter, yeah, go ahead and like and follow that. And ask us some questions. If something interests you from a podcast, interact with us there.
And though Twitter's the only one we're using because we didn't really want to create all these social media.
Yeah, I think it's just an easy way to.
And we have, and with the secret and certain stuff, of course, you can still communicate through that with us if you like. But you know, but also, you know, whatever platform you have, if you're on Facebook, Instagram, whatever, and you like Secret and Servant, We the Exiles, share, we'd love for you to share this to, if you do enjoy it, share it with other people, post, make posts about it, help kind of grow this, what we're doing. We'd definitely appreciate it.
Also want to mention, our Patreon page. Once again, that's where you can give to this podcast and the efforts of Seeker and Servant and all that we're doing ministry wise. We've been super thankful for those who have sewed into that, and we've actually grown a little bit there. We're currently at 8 patrons, which is really good. I want to put out kind of a goal to try to meet, to try to get to 10 before the end of June.
Right.
And if you're thinking about sewing into this, or you've been enjoying this and you really want to see it continue, you can head over to patreon.com/seekerandservant. That's patreon.com/seekerandservant. And we have one tier. It's $10 a month. And you'll receive a really cool We the Exiles mug, along with
other content.
Early content. Mm-hmm. You'll get all the, our content early, and it's just a great. It's a easy way for us to gain support. It's just a good platform for that. But it's a. I think it's an easy way if you want to sew into.
Right.
You don't have to go through a ton of loops. It's just pretty straightforward.
And we get it. I mean, I was listening. I listen to radio, other podcasts, all that. The more you fill your time with, or things just to you, find, you seems like everybody's asking for support, and I understand that, and we trust the Lord and know that He will continue this if that's what He wants. But look, we are really working hard. We really want to continue to expand on what the Lord has, you know, graced our hearts with. We you know, we really do ask that if you are listening to this and you have that $10 a month to spare, that, you know, this would be a great ministry to do that. And that's really what it is. Everything we do, We the Exile, Seeker and Servant, the video content that we create and are going to create is for the glory of God. Mm-hmm. It's not for the glory of Chandler or Cameron Wood. And so, please, please, if you do have, if you want to sow into something, we ask that you sow into what we're doing with the Exiles and the ministry as a whole that we're involved in.
Yes. Right. Real quick before we move on, I wanted to mention too, just because this happens periodically, we're actually playing a show, with Rivers and Robots, a band from UK. We've been trying to do something with them for a long time, but we're actually going to be playing with them in Denton, Texas on August 8th. So if you are in the Texas area and you'd like to come see us play, but also just to come and chat with us, talk with us, we'd love for you to do that. It's going to be at Zara Coffee, a place we played at, we love. And they're selling tickets now. So if you are in the area and like to come, you can head on over to Eventbrite and find the event there. But just wanted to mention that because, you know, of recent, we don't get to play a ton. Sometimes we'll do little tours here and there, but just want to mention when we do have some stuff.
Where did you get that mug?
This thing? I thought you'd never ask. I got this sweet mug becoming a supporter of the We the Exiles podcast over at patreon.com. Becoming a supporter is easy. For $10 a month, you can support the We the Exiles podcast and the ministry of Seeker and Servant. Only $10. Not only do I feel satisfied drinking out of this amazing mug, but it brings me joy knowing that I'm supporting a Christ-exalting ministry. Head on over to patreon.com/seekerandservant. That's patreon.com/seekerandservant and become an exile today.
Order up.
The main dish.
I want to give this disclaimer before we jump into this topic. If you're listening and you sometimes listen, because I know sometimes my wife will with our kids in the room, this topic that we're going to discuss today can be a taboo topic, and there's some things in here that you may not want little ears to hear. No profanity or anything like that, but just the subject matter itself can be a little bit more mature in nature. So we just wanted to give a disclaimer just saying that we would say discretion be advised when it comes to where you're playing that and how you're listening to the podcast today and what the topic is. But let's jump right in. One of the most damaging and taboo topics in our churches is pornography. Yet with all the statistics showing the increased use of pornography, you would figure that this topic would move from being taboo to regular and continual discussion. And speaking of statistics, here are a few. These are 15 mind-blowing statistics when it comes to pornography, and it comes from this website called, I guess it's actually a helpful resource in combating pornography, but it's called Conquer Series. You can find this at conquerseries.com. This is an article they post by Luke Gibbons, and it's 15 mind-blowing statistics about pornography in the church. And here they are. One, over 40 million Americans are regular visitors to porn sites. The average visit lasts 6 minutes and 29 seconds. Two, there are around 42 million porn websites, which totals around 370 million pages of porn. Three, the porn industry's annual revenue is more than the NFL, NBA, and MLB combined. It is also more than the combined revenues of ABC, CBS, and NBC.
Wow.
Four, 47% of families in the United States reported that pornography is a problem in their home. Five, pornography use increases the marital infidelity rate by more than 300%. Six, 11 is the average age that a child is first exposed to porn, and 94% of children will see porn by the age of 14. Seven, 56% of American divorces involve one party having an obsessive interest in pornography. Eight, 70% of Christian youth pastors report that they have had at least one teen come to them for help in dealing with pornography in the last 12 months. Nine, 68% of church-going men and over 50% of pastors view porn on a regular basis. Of young Christian adults, 18 through 24-year-olds, 76% actively search for porn.
Mm.
10, 59% of pastors said that married men seek help for porn with porn use. 11, 33% of men aged 25 and under search for porn at least once per month. 12, only 13% of self-identified Christian women say that they never watch porn. 87% of Christian women have watched porn. 13, 55% of married men and 25% of married women say they watch porn at least once a month. 14, 57% of pastors say porn addiction is the most damaging issue in their congregation. And 69% say that porn has adversely impacted their church. And then 15, only 7% of pastors say their church has a program to help people struggle who are struggling with pornography.
Yeah, so
it's pretty big.
It's a pretty dangerous thing, and
one that also hits close to the heart.
Yeah, this is something that from the get go of this podcast, Cameron and I knew that we were going to do one on this issue, and we'll probably end up doing another one in the future at some point. But yeah, this hits home. This hits close to home for us because it's affected Cameron and I. In our lives and our marriages, and it's something that needs to be talked about, and it's something that is not really talked about a lot. It is talked about, but it's not talked about in the depth of, like, let's be open and let's be honest, because a lot of people who have struggled with it or are currently dealing with it, they don't open up about it, and but they'll talk about it in such a way that they don't agree with it, they don't like it, it's a sin, but yet it's so easy to hide this.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to close off.
Yep.
And it just be your own little personal thing. Yep. And it's affected us in that way. And so we want this to be edifying, and we hope that this will encourage you if you're struggling with it, or those that just want more information about this.
Yeah, I could say probably, I'll say with 100% confidence that if I were to talk to a young man who has had struggle with pornography, that he would say that he wish he would have known the dangers sooner.
Mm-hmm.
Or he wish someone would have had this conversation or the things that we'll discuss sooner.
Mm-hmm.
I know I wish I had.
I do too, for
and,
sure.
And though we grew up in and around church, again, this topic didn't really become more prominent till later on in our life. And at that point, we had already been exposed to pornography.
Yeah.
The dangers that surrounded that and just the depths of those dangers, because, I mean, it's a wormhole.
Mm-hmm. I think that statistic is pretty spot on.
I believe that was from 2016, so it's, what, been 3 years? I don't know what the latest, I would say it's probably grown since then.
Well, when it mentioned at what age people are usually exposed to it, I think that was around the age that I was.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think I was 13.
Yeah, because I think you and I were exposed to it together.
Mm-hmm.
We had a friend that was living close to us, and you know, we would always play with him. We always played outdoors, and just randomly one day he pulled out a magazine, or he said, "Hey, y'all, come check this out." And it was kind of like a hidden thing. And
yeah. And at that point, I don't even know I didn't know what pornography was.
I didn't either.
And I
so wish that I still had the innocence. It's crazy how, like, before that point in my life, like, I didn't think about any of that. I didn't think about girls in that way. But when I saw that magazine and I saw the images in it, that was just a turning point, because this whole world that
we all know we're not, none of us are innocent, none of us are good, but that childlike innocence of just looking upon a woman's naked body is gone.
Yeah.
In that one moment.
Yeah.
And then only from there did the
interest grow. I mean, to
not only that, but just magazines, to video content.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, you get older and you're given a computer, and mm-hmm. then the access to just the, like that said, how many porn websites? 370 million pages. And this is 2016 of porn. That's so scary to think about now, even with my two boys growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Just how dirty and dangerous and just how evil porn is.
So from that point, Cameron and I, obviously, I think it was like after that point, I mean, it wasn't something consistent, but for a time, like any time that, you know, we could, you know, especially with that friend, from time to time, I think he was stealing it from somebody.
He was stealing it from one of our family members.
Yeah.
Because our family all lived various places around where we were living at the time.
Right. So he was getting it somehow, and so anytime it was available, you know, we were definitely intrigued.
And this just shows you the sin nature of your heart. We planned a camp out in front of our uncle's house, which was just right up the road from us, for the sole purpose. In this camp out, we ran an extension cord from the house out to this tent. The entire purpose of this camp out was so that we could watch the video that he obtained from porn. And that's what we did.
Yeah.
That was the whole intention
of that. It's crazy how enticing and what it will take you to, you know. So it remained like that for a while, just here and there. What really changed for me, and probably changed for you too, is when I got my first computer.
Right.
When I got my first laptop, I was in eighth grade. And when I got that laptop and I started to understand and figure out how the internet worked,
how to access it,
and that that was so accessible.
Yeah, and LimeWire was another thing at that point too. Especially when I got my first computer and learned how to download stuff, not just music, but friends were teaching me. This was, you know, beginning of freshman year of high school.
Yeah.
Teaching me how to access full-on pornographic videos through downloading from LimeWire.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, there was just it opened up a whole vast array of, which I would say that, you know, 80 to 90% now is all access through computer.
Yeah.
I mean,
to be honest, too, because that's the thing. this can be a hard topic to talk about, just because it really has affected me so much.
Yeah, both of us.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, I mean, from that point on, when I could access porn with such ease, I mean, almost daily. Mm-hmm. I mean, for years, that was my thing. At nighttime, when everyone was, you know, I go to my own room or whatever, it became a ritual. It became habit forming.
Right. And here's the thing. Through that whole experience, up to the point even where we got a computer, there was not one conversation. And this isn't a knock on our parents, but this is just the truth. Not one conversation about the dangers of mm-hmm. what you could find being left alone with your computer.
Yeah.
Not one conversation with our father sitting down with us saying, look, there is, and not a knock on him or anything like that, but this is, even at that point, the social structure and the normalization of pornography mm-hmm. was so set in at that point. I mean, it's gotten far vast. The movies, television, everything now is even over-sexualized. But even then,
yeah.
for us...
Well, I think it's something in our culture, and you see this a lot, and I think that was kind of like what it was for us, but you almost view it like it's going to happen. You know, boys will be boys.
Right.
Just let them
be. It's
almost
like this is a part of growing up.
Yeah.
And I want to go back to my 12, 13-year-old self and say, please.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I had a time capsule, you know, mm-hmm. I could travel back and have a redo of that and never have looked at one single pornographic image, I would take the first opportunity that I had to do that.
Yeah.
Because the war that I have waged on my flesh mm-hmm. from that day to even now has been one filled with complete sorrow, heartache, and just complete and utter disgust with myself.
Yeah.
And it is, for me, and I know for you, it is a heart-wrenching battle. We, so much so that a lot of the songs we have written mm-hmm. in Seeker and Servant have started out and stemmed from the falling to our sinful flesh when it comes to specifically pornography.
Yeah. So fast forward, struggle with that for years. And it, you know, I just kept it hidden, and I would be convicted for sure when I would hear, you know, when I hear sermons just really blasting my sin and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to change. I had such a heart to change, and I hated that I dealt with that. But the more and more and more that you give into that, you have a numbness that hits you to where you almost, you can just indulge in it without, you indulge in it and you just don't really think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes normal. And that is the scariest thing about mm-hmm. it, is becoming so desensitized to it that, you know, now what should be such a weighty sin to you, it's just kind of shrugged off.
Mm-hmm.
So that dealt with that for years, up to the point of my marriage. I was dealing with it before I got married, for sure. And I, you know, I didn't open up about it the way I should have. And I guess this thought happens with a lot of people, but in my mind, I thought, well, when I get married,
yeah, that's a false,
yeah, yeah.
false thing.
When I,
and you may even hear that from people, 'cause I did too. But somehow marriage makes you feel almost like you have this new sense of armor on you that marriage will help you combat that.
Mm-hmm.
And for a time, that may be true, but anything, even the newness of marriage, wears off.
Yeah.
And the honeymoon phase is over, and you enter into a whole new section, and you realize, oh, wow, I'm still a sinful person.
Yeah.
And
which I'd heard that, you know, from you, because you... you know, you got married in 2012, so you, mm-hmm. you were married for a good bit of time before I got married.
Mm-hmm.
And we had wise men around us telling us these things. And so I knew that truth, you know, that marriage is not going to fix that problem. But I guess in my mind, I was just like, it's going to be different for me, you know, but it's not. Marriage does not fix that problem. Mm-mm. If you're struggling with porn, and you don't deal with it, mm-hmm. And you get married and you're still struggling with that, you will struggle with that.
Yeah.
You've got to murder this sin.
Yeah. It's crouching at your heart's door, waiting to devour you. It's a daily sin. I mean, just sexual immorality in general. So one time in scripture, we have a flee completely mm-hmm. get away from. Why? And you saw in those statistics, this is not just a man's issue. More and more statistics are revealing women deal with it, but majority-wise, because of the way that we're designed as men, there is that stronger sexual desire there. And most men, now some women, they have a strong one too. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that majority of men have more of an issue with this because of the way we're wired, the way that we're created. And so it is a big issue with men. And if you don't deal with it and you just let it kind of just – you let sleeping dogs lie, mm-hmm. they're going to eat away at you. And ultimately we know, and this is true, if you're a Christian man, you won't be able to mm-hmm. let the sleeping dogs lie. We're going to get into that because we have several clips we want to play for you, but that's just some brief history on us, especially both of us. Chandler, up to, he's talking about marriage. Same thing with me. There's not a one, and we're going to talk about this too, there's not like this one shape fits everybody or this one set solution necessarily of when it comes to like the steps you can take or 12 steps to getting rid of pornography. For us, the realization is realizing that Christ is better than pornography, mm-hmm. right? Christ is more satisfying than pornography. And then the other side up too is understanding to have a fear of God, mm-hmm. a right fear of God, a fear of God that puts holiness, right? Striving for holiness above your own selfish desire and mm-hmm. satisfaction.
And before we get to the clips, just to kind of tell off on just kind of our history of it, I'll give my personal, just within the marriage bed and how that's affected that. And then you can with you. But I think it's good for people to hear. So I got married. And for about three to four months, you know, I didn't struggle with porn. I didn't look at porn. Was probably still struggling in my mind with a lot of the images reoccurring and things like that. But then I reached a point and I was like, man, I think I got this thing beat, you know, and almost kind of an arrogance. And then I fell again. And from that point on, when I fell, that happened periodically, and I wasn't, like, when it first happened, I wasn't honest with my wife, and I kind of hid that away for, you know, a couple months, and I wasn't as consistent as I was before my marriage in looking at porn, but it was coming up, and eventually, I don't know how many months after that, maybe 5 months after that or whatever, just this one night, just conviction hit me so hard. And I was in our bedroom together, and it just hit me so hard. And it just kind of came out. And I think it was the Lord, and it just kind of came out of my mouth, and I fessed up to my wife. And from that moment on, just her knowing about it, and that really started to help me, just being honest and being open. And from that point on, I struggled with it more. But it was an ongoing conversation. And then, what really changed it all for me was when I let my pastor in on it and started to seek true accountability. And, it's made all the world of a difference. And so I praise the Lord for what he's been done in my life, because it's something that I've hated for so long and something that I don't want that in my life. It does no good. And
that's why we want to talk about this, because we do have a weightiness on our hearts for this, obviously, because it's a topic and an issue that hits close to our heart. It hits home with us. and it's very close to us, so I want to talk about it.
For you and your, for yeah, you
not,
and your
not,
marriage.
I don't want to spend too much time because I do want to get to these clips, but yeah, the struggle was real for me too. My pornography use, teenage years, even to marry, before I got married, was very sporadic. I never went through just continual use and abuse of pornography. But I did have struggle with it, and I had a long, serious conversation with my wife before we got married about my pornography use. And then when we got married, there was a huge zeal on my heart to completely abstain from anything like that. I mean, we didn't have television in our house for 6 months. And so, it was really good for me for a while. I don't know how long, but it felt like a good little while, maybe a year more into our marriage, with the porn stuff. And then, I don't know how it creeped in, but it did. And, throughout a period of a couple of years, I've been married for 7 years. It began to creep in a little bit more and then a little bit more. But I will have to say, by the graciousness of God, and this is going to be when we talk about in the closing things about, you know, just things that we found helpful. Honesty is always the best policy, and this is so true. And for me, something that has definitely aided me is just, even in that first instance of me falling within our marriage pornography, I was honest with Casey. And I do believe that that's helped me have long periods of success. God's used her as my number one accountability partner, as it should be for every man, though we need other accountability partners, and we're going to talk about that. But yeah, the issue has definitely hit home with me, and it's been something that I've dealt with in my marriage, though it be maybe in a more sporadic issue, but it's still an issue. And so, dealing with that, I've put measures in place and with Casey, and then also just understanding and learning how to grasp Christ above all things has helped me a lot. And we'll talk more about that, but that's been a very similar in nature story.
And I'm really thankful that we have each other.
Yeah.
You know, that we can talk to each other.
Yeah.
About these issues.
There's not one singular thing though that I hate more when talking about certain sins, specifically in my life, that has plagued me for the many years that I've had access to it, than pornography.
I agree.
There's not any other sin in my life that I have visualized actually physically causing violence to than pornography.
Yeah. And when we say porn, we're including masturbation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we're going to talk about that. Sexual morality in general.
Just simply the act of looking at images.
There's so much more that goes into that. Masturbation, self-gratification. Yeah. We'll sum it up as that. But anyway, let's play this first clip. This clip comes from Steve Lawson, I believe.
I think some guy approached him on the street somewhere and posed a question to him about this issue.
Could I just say something on the back of that? Do you think that that is a massive problem that young men have in the world, is purity today?
I do. I think a lot of young men fight pornography and they excuse it. And Jesus said, if your right eye causes you to stumble, meaning to look on another woman with lust, Jesus was so radical, he said, rip it out and throw your right eye away. It would be better for you to pluck out your right eye than for you to go to the fiery hell. In other words, you're going to hell if you don't repent. You are showing that you're not even a true believer. And then he says, and if your right hand makes you stumble, that goes even further. Now you're not just looking, now you're fondling. Now your hand is where it does not belong. And Jesus called for radical repentance. And he said, chop it off. It would be better for you to chop off your right hand than for your whole body to go to hell. So we need to hear that again today. And there are young men who are trying to get as close to the edge and as close to the fire and are abusing their liberties in Christ and their freedom in Christ and they're becoming singed with the fires of lust, and they will not be used by God. Now, they may have good looks, and they may be able to maybe blend in with the culture and connect and be a cool communicator, but the power of the Spirit of God will not rest upon that life, nor that ministry. So that is why purity is absolutely essential.
Yeah, I listening to talk about this, it brings up a couple of things. One for me, one, repentance. And I've asked myself this question: you know, if I've truly repented of this issue, then why do I continue sinning? And maybe the clear cut answer, and I want to be real here. I want to have this real discussion. You know. What if I haven't had real repentance of that? Maybe that's why I continue to struggle. That's something that we need to ask ourselves when viewing the topic of sexual morality, because the truth is that if we are Christian men, the truth is that we have been freed through our faith in Jesus Christ from being a slave to sin. And if we've been freed from being a slave to sin, then when in true repentance, we should be able to grasp real victory over that sin. My willingness, again, this is kind of what I talked about, the fear of God, the pursuit of holiness. My willingness to even go back into that is to say that it's based on a belief mentality. Maybe I don't believe that Christ is fully satisfying, that he can take care of that desire in me. And maybe I don't believe that God cares as much about his holiness as he says he does in his word. Maybe that's why I fall into sin. These are scary things to contemplate. These are scary things to question. Though we should be questioning these things, we need to be asking ourselves these things. But I truly believe that the war is, I mean, that it's a victory that can be won only with Christ. You know, you hear people have success with pornography outside of being a Christian man. And sure, you may be able to will up enough within yourself to be able to do that, but it's not a true honest victory, because nothing you can do amongst your own power is going to last. Only lasting power can come through Christ alone. And so that's where I would say start for me, that I have to start with, when especially when it comes now to when I'm faced with the temptation to look at pornography or sin. In that moment, it's about is Christ more worth it? Is he more pleasurable and more desirable than the sin I'm about to give over to, or the sin I'm being tempted to? Or is it, or do I truly believe that God is the God he says he is in his scripture, and he holds holiness, especially specifically his holiness, vastly above anything else, of myself? You know, do I have a true appetite for holiness in my life?
I think that's just really what crushes me in thinking about it. And he mentions, you know, you can have this cool appearance and you can, you know, do the right things in front of people. But it doesn't matter if you have this hidden sin, and you're repeatedly going back to that, And for me, that I did that. That's what I hate so much, is for the longest time, I would tell young men, you know, and I would say, you know, don't go here. All the while I was going there.
He says something too that hits home. He talks about ministry, because I believe he's probably addressing young, maybe Christian men who are seeking to be pastors or ministry. This hits home with me, because, you know, we've always talked about certain things, specifically aspects of success and the things that we've done. I believe at times in our life and in the things we've done, God has held because of the sin in my life.
For sure.
And I say that not because in a way that God has necessarily punished me, but God in his graciousness towards me has done that to show me that he's not going to bless a ministry when the people involved in that are secretly giving themselves over continually to sin. And through that has opened my eyes to see that truth. So his, you know, withholding certain things, or maybe certain what we would deem successes, is his grace towards us. And I've contemplated that, thinking about that, and, you know, because at the deepest level of my heart, specifically now with We the Exiles, I really want to honor God in my speech, in my life, because, you know, if you're guys listening, we're telling these things from the honesty of our hearts, but at the same time, we want to live these things honestly. And that starts with taking a seriousness to sin, not just in pornography, but in every area of life. Porn being a big one with Chandler and I, because it's something that we fought for a long time. But don't play with it.
Yeah,
you're going to get burned if you play with fire. Pornography is fire. It will burn you, and it will send you to fire. It'll you keep playing with pornography, and you keep messing with it, you'll end up in the lake of fire. It will hurt you, and it won't just hurt you in an immediate aspect. It will hurt you for the rest of your life.
I rally with that. You know, I think first we have to come to the realization that what we are doing is an incredible offense to God.
Right.
And seeing that, and not only just knowing that and being able to say that, but feeling that in the fiber of your being, to where that leads you to genuine repentance. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where we start if we want to see.
And genuine repentance is a turning away of sin. So to authentically repent is to turn from that sin in such a way that you don't want anything to do with that sin anymore. Does that mean you're a perfect person the rest of your life? No, but I think sometimes we're so quick to excuse sin that we never actually finish the fight off.
Right.
Because we're in excuse mode. You know, we're like, well, you know, I'm fighting this. There's always this grace there, whatever. You know, you're going to have a nature, an appetite of holiness in you if you're a Christian. And that appetite's not something you put in your heart. That's Christ has buried that in there, and the Holy Spirit continues to work in you to sanctify you through that. So it's an impossibility to continue in sin of any kind, pornography or not. It's an impossibility to continue in that sin over and over and over again without repentance if you are a Christian. So I think that's a good examining tool right there. Do you continue in sin without any repercussions, without any godly sorrow, without any not sorrow because you've done something that the world deems wrong.
Or you're found out.
Or found out. But a sorrow that you've offended your God, our God, you know, God the Father. So that's a good question. Let's play clip two here from, this is from Ray Comfort. I think he does a good job of lovingly explaining this.
That through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Some modern versions say desire, which diffuses what I'm talking about. 1 Peter 1:14. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts in your ignorance. Former lusts in your ignorance. Lust for the Christian should be a thing of the past. My big sin was the sin of lust. That's what brought me to the cross. I was burning with unlawful sexual desire. The litmus test to know if we're truly saved, if I fear God, is to ask the question, am I still given to lust? Christianity Today, last year, 2016. Quote, most pastors, 57%, and youth pastors, 64%, admit they have struggled with porn, either currently or in the past. Folks, no Christian struggles with porn. We don't struggle with porn. That's like making us the victim. What would you think if I said, hey, folks, I struggle with adultery? What? The struggle isn't with porn or with adultery. The struggle is with the conscience, the knowledge of right and wrong that God has burned upon our hearts. Con is with science's knowledge. We have an inner knowledge of what God requires, and we know when we're doing wrong. No one has a problem with pornography. We have a problem with a lack of the fear of God. Right. Folks, I'm not pointing any fingers. I have a battle daily. Everywhere I turn, there's Potiphar's wife going, there's Bathsheba bathing somewhere right in my eye shot, and I have to say, Lord, help me to guard my eyes. I have to walk in the fear of the Lord. We go down hunting the beach every Saturday, especially in summer. They don't wear swimming. They wear string. And I just got to say, oh, God, help me. Don't let my eyes linger and wander. Help me to walk in the fear of the Lord and be like Joseph and say, how can I do this thing and sin against God? You got a struggle with pornography? Well, let me ask you this. Would you look at porn in a worship service on a Sunday morning? Just open it up and go through it on your phone. You say, I couldn't do that. That's the house of God. No, it's not. God dwells not in temples made with hands. God's as much in your bedroom as he's in this building we erroneously call a church. And the eye of the Lord is in every place, beholding the evil and the good. You know what keeps me from giving myself to the pleasure of lust? And by the way, lust and porn are pleasurable. All these arguments, oh, lust is bad because it will wreck your marriage. No, it's bad because it's wrong. It's a sin in God's eyes. It's committing adultery in your heart. It's like arguing adultery is wrong because, you know, it could wreck your marriage. No, it's wrong because it's a violation of the commandment. It's a sin in God's eyes. It's storing up his wrath. The fear of the Lord keeps me from enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. The guy who said, as miserable as sin, is probably the same guy who said crime doesn't pay. Of course crime pays. We wouldn't have criminals if it didn't pay. And it's going to pay right up until judgment day. And sin is not miserable. Sin is pleasurable. Rape can be pleasurable. Robbing a bank can be pleasurable. You get a good buzz out of robbing a bank. And pornography is pleasurable to the sinful human heart. And Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Jesus said, if your eye offends you, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is better to enter heaven without an eye than go to hell with both your eyes, where the fire is never quenched and the worm never dies. How much do you value your eyes? How much would you sell your eyes for? I often ask non-Christians who are flippant about their lie, I don't care if I go to hell. I say, would you sell an eye for $1 million? They say, oh, maybe. Would you sell both for $100 million? No. See, what would you do with $100 million? See the world? And your eyes are merely the windows of the soul. But they're precious. If I come up to you, excuse me, collecting eyes, just stay still, you'd get out. Because you protect your eyes with everything you've got. And in fact, you've got an intuitive thing that's beside your will within you to protect your eyes. I remember I was squirting something just yesterday and some oil went towards my eye and I closed my eye before even thought. It's instantaneous. It's like something on your skin. Put your hand on a hot plate, you will pull off before the message goes, hot plate, better pull hand back. It's automatic. God has made it automatic. Oh, and then you think, man, that was hot. And the same with your eyes. You want to protect them. But Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, put your finger in the socket and just rip it out. And then he said, cast it from you. Don't leave it there where you can pick it up and put it in again. In other words, sin is that serious. So I'm asking you the question today, are you genuinely saved? Are you given to lust? Or are you living in holiness? We don't live in holiness to be saved. We live in holiness because we're saved. Because we've been forgiven, we look at the cross and we tremble that God went to such expense to save us from sin. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust and enticed. God killed a man in Genesis 38 because he didn't like what he did sexually. That puts the fear of God in my heart. And the scriptures say, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Then you pop the finger out. Click it.
Jerry, have you heard of this new podcast called We the Exiles?
John, I actually have, and I've been listening to it quite a bit.
What's the best way to stay in touch with what's going on, We the Exiles?
I have heard. They have an incredible Twitter page.
What's their handle?
It is at We the Exiles.
Ah, found it. Following them now.
Sick.
Leaving Shadowland, Seeker and Servant's newest EP, including the singles Where Would I Be and Fear of Missing Out. Check it out wherever you listen or download music.
Dad. Did anyone leave room?
Oh, maybe a little bit of pudding.
It's
time for dessert.
You love your pudding.
Yeah, there's a lot of, so we definitely probably will end up doing more episodes in regards to this, just because it is such a big issue. Yeah.
And there's so many avenues that you can cover.
That clip though is definitely a good one. I think it summarizes it pretty well. It is a matter of holiness, and we've talked about this in other shows so far, other podcasts we've done so far. But there is such a small view of holiness in our culture today.
Yeah.
And I think that contributes to a number of issues, not just with pornography, but just how we view sin in general. If you read biblical men of old and you look at the scripture, you see that there is such a seriousness and a weightiness when it comes to sin. And because we know that sin is death. And if we really believe that, if we really have compassion for others and we see other Christian men in sin, then our hearts should break to want to pull them out of that sin. Same thing with lost people. Sin is what separates us from God. And pornography is such a big one. Sexual sin is such a big one, especially in today's over-sexualized culture. Do we fear God?
Yeah.
Do we have an appetite in our hearts for holiness, mm-hmm. as Christian men and women? Do we desire to pursue the holiness of God before our own sexual desires? Before our own, you know, our hearts can take anything God meant for good, sex being one of those, and we can just turn things bad because that's what we do in our sinful innate nature. We take the good things of God and we make them evil.
Yeah.
And pornography is just another example of that. And so the call for this show and just us opening up and being honest about pornography is just to say that, look, pornography is dangerous. It is a dangerous, dangerous, dangerous sin. It will grab a hold of you and the appetites and desires of your innate nature, and it will hold on as tightly as it can. Satan doesn't want you to let go of pornography.
Mm-hmm. And in the culture that we live in today, where it's around every corner at every turn, it's in all our phones, our computers. We really, really
have to be careful.
We need to, if we are struggling with this, we have to kill it.
Mm-hmm, we have to kill it. We have to.
Because it's not going to get better.
Yeah, take our eyes off of our computer screens, our phones, and put our eyes on Christ. Yes. We've got to do that. And so we want to, we're going to read a text here that summarizes or kind of goes along with what we're saying, or it does go along with what we're saying. Before that, Chandler and I want to kind of just give you some practical kind of tools from good resources that we've even used. Because look, we're in this fight too.
Mm-hmm.
We have 100%, I believe 100% that I will be rid of pornography in mm-hmm. my life, and hopefully sooner than later. And I'm on that path now. So we're fighting this with you. We want to fight this with you. If you are a Christian man struggling, we don't have all the answers, but we can be an earpiece if we need to be. We can be a shoulder to lean on if you need help there. We know what it's like to fall. We know what it's like to battle and wage war with pornography. But these are a few kind of tools and resources that we've used.
First off, obviously, if you're struggling with that, like Cameron and I have said, being honest and open is going to get you really far in this fight. So we would encourage you guys, if you're struggling with it, reach out. Like if you're in marriage, definitely
you need to
open
you need
up.
To, you need to be honest with your wife.
Open up to your wife. Two. Reach out to your church, your elders in your church, your pastor, or brothers and sisters in your church that could come alongside you, hold you accountable. It might be hard up front to be honest, but we promise that is a yeah. need.
The fear of what others think of you is what keeps so many people out of it, but that fear is going to lead you to hell.
Yeah.
You need to promise you, Christ is more important. You know this if you're a Christian. So take the proper steps and precautions that you need to help fight this battle.
But for some just resources that we've found helpful, a course that I personally went through that my pastor recommended to me when I started doing accountability with him, it's a site called Setting Captives Free. It's settingcaptivesfree.com, and they have free courses. It's really awesome because it's 100% free, and it is so helpful. They have a purity course on there, and it's a 30-day just course every day. You can go through there, and sometimes, and they'll even say that, you don't have to follow it like every day because you want to be taking in what they're saying and really digesting it and using it in your life. So it's not like a checkmark thing. It's for those who really want to become pure in that area. So SetiCaptivesFree.com, and they also actually have a course for the wives of husbands that are struggling with that called A United Front. So I would really highly recommend that. It was really helpful for me, and I still want to actually go through that course again just because it was so good, but I found that really helpful. And then there's also another, I also have Covenant Eyes on my computer. You might have heard of that. It's pretty well known. It's a kind of a accountability
software
yeah. in a sense. And they also, it's also a filter for your web browser. That's also really great resources, a great resource because we don't want to make any provision for our flesh.
Right, we're called not to.
And you might think that's silly, like I can overcome it, I can get away from it, but really you've got to banish it and don't leave any room there. So yeah. That's a great resource. And then lastly, this resource, it's not necessarily a Christian it's not under a Christian banner, but it has been helpful. I think Cameron's used it a little bit. It's called Fight the New Drug. It's a website. They have a lot of good resource videos.
They have a lot of free resources, too. The type of person I am, I like to see the success.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have this thing called a battle tracker. You can put it on your phone. It's free. And you can just keep up with the successes you have. They're not really rooted in Christian, with Christian stuff, but you can, again, these are just supplemental tools to be used in your fight against pornography. These tools, they're not going to be the overall antidote to your sin. The antidote's Christ.
Yeah.
These are supplemental just tools to help you in that. And that's what we want to say. Look, to get over pornography, we have the answer to that. It's Jesus Christ. We have been saved, not because if we've done anything good, our works is filthy rags before Holy God. We know that. We know that. And the same thing with pornography. If you rely on your own will, you rely on your own self, your sinful nature is not going to allow you to overcome pornography. You're not going to. But if you rather look to Christ and the power that you've been given through your new birth in Christ, you long to hold Christ is more valuable than the sin that you're partaking in. And then you also have a desire to grow an appetite for holiness in your life, a holiness that understands true fear of God, then you will overcome pornography. Same for us. And so continue fighting that fight. I'm going to read this, and then we're going to close out. This comes from 1 Thessalonians 4:1-8. It says, "Additionally, then, brothers and sisters, we ask and encourage you in the Lord Jesus that as you have received instruction from us on how you should live and please God as you are doing, do this even more, for you know what commands we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is God's will, your sanctification, that you keep away from sexual immorality, that each one of you knows how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not with lustful passions like the Gentiles who don't know God. This means one must not transgress against and take advantage of a brother or sister in this manner, because the Lord is an avenger of all these offenses, as we also previously told and warned you. For God has not called us to impurity, but to live in holiness. Consequently, anyone who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit." Until next time, keep your eyes on Christ and fight the good fight. This is We the Exiles.